again with Kay Boone, looking back at Gawler's history through the pages of the Bunyip. And this is for actually today, because the Bunyip came out a day late due to the public holiday. So it's April the 21st.
Ah.
Thursday's Bunyip, not a Wednesday Bunyip.
Yes. Well, it's good to be here too. It's the Queen's birthday today, her proper birthday.
Ah.
Because my grandfather was born on 20th of April. And which was Hitler's birthday, so he always celebrated his birthday on the 21st, and he was happy to do that because it was the Queen's birthday. And he was English, so it was like, oh yeah, whatever.
I did not know either of them had April birthdays, but you know, everyone has birthdays in
April. Yeah, it's only the Queen and Hitler. How to remember Hitler's birthday.
Yeah. Lovely bit of trivia there.
Yes, absolutely. Just cut that out.
No, it's great. So, 150 years ago, boiler for the Blinman, a boiler of huge dimensions, passed through Gawler yesterday, having been transported from Mr. Rouncewell's sawmill, Mount Crawford, en route for the port. The machinery connected with the boiler accompanied it in a couple of wagons, and when put in through repair, is destined to employ its future energies in favour of the Blinman mine in the far north. Oh, wow, okay. So
it was copper, wasn't it? I think that was a copper mine.
There was gold up in the way. I don't think 150 years ago. So there was a gold rush north of Blinman.
If it came from Mount Crawford, well, it doesn't matter what it was used for.
No.
En route to the port. And then it was put on the port and then taken by ship around and up Spencer Gulf. My goodness.
Yes, quite a trip. And then it had to be transported overland to Blinman.
Yeah,
so that was a lot of, quite an effort to get there.
Well, they'd go up the outside of the Flinders Ranges to the name of the town at the foot of the Flinders, which has got the really famous, up on the Lake Torrens side, Parachilnet, and then up to Blinman that way, which is a relatively short trip. There's a gorge there.
I'll look that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So, 100 years ago, community singing. Arrangements have been made in Gawler for a test of community singing, for the first effort being set down for early in May, the date of which will be duly advertised. Preliminary details are in the hands of Mays Dams Bennett and Neil and Miss Flo Barnett. Should it be shown that there is an interest in their community sing songs, then regular dates will be allocated for the winter months. The promoters are hopeful that the gatherings can be arranged whereby country people might also participate in this novel yet very helpful organisation. Miss Flo Barnett pops up everywhere.
Yes, they do, don't they, the Barnett family?
Oh, yeah. She was quite a doughty figure for a long time, right up until the 1950s,
I think I might have copied a photo of her, actually, for the museum.
Ah.
I'm pretty sure that name rings quite a bell.
Yeah, quite a character.
Yes. So, 50 years ago, street dust nuisance affecting asthmatics. Dust problems in Gawler streets are causing concern to a number of residents, particularly sufferers from asthma. At last week's meeting of Gawler Town Council, a resident of Barker Street, Williston, sought council help to alleviate the dust nuisance in Barker and Princess Streets. He claimed the dust problem had increased since more use was being made of the streets by motor trucks. Only 50 years ago. And motor trucks were a problem.
And before that it was horses and carriages anyway.
Yes, I would have thought horses, of course, created worse dust because of the manure was mixed with the dust. None of the streets were paved.
Someone did an estimate years ago about the amount of horse manure that would be left on Grand Junction Road if it was today's traffic at that time. And they said it would build up by about a metre a day with the amount of horse manure. If you related that to the amount of traffic that used the road, and it was that's a lot of horse manure.
Well, that's one of the problems with the dust in London. And you wouldn't think London would be dusty because of the rain, but there was just so much traffic and horse manure and animal manure. And the dust was just, and they're still bringing animals into Smithfield Market, so the dust was really, really toxic.
And it was just stink.
And there was pollution, and it stank, yes.
Yeah, because it was wet. I mean, I have horses, and wet horse manure, especially once it's, fresh horse manure has one stink, but wet horse manure. Right, 25 years ago, International Anzac March. A special visitor to Gawler on Sunday for the Anzac March and services was the President of the British Legion, Mr. Graham Downing, who called at Gawler as part of a World Goodwill Tour to see his mother Mabel Downing. While here, he participated in the Anzac March and memorial service at St George's Church and said he would be at Melbourne for the Anzac Day March on Friday. Wow, he was getting around.
Mm.
I remember Mabel Downing. She was a tiny little woman.
Right.
Tiny, tiny, yeah. And feisty as anything.
Mm-hmm.
Really tough. Yeah. Characters of Gawler.
Yes. Yeah. 10 years ago, digging up past. Some people go to extreme lengths to find a pub, and that's exactly what some budding archaeologists are doing at Redbanks. In a bid to unearth what remains of the Seven Stars Hotel, about 25 Flinders University archaeology students have spent the last week undertaking surface investigations at the site of the former watering hole on the corner of the Malalar to Gawler Road and Germantown Road. Flinders University archaeology lecturer Mick Mollison said the group hopes the project will reveal more information about the historic hotel, which was built in 1867. Wow, I should show that to my son, who thinks that there's no archaeology to be done in Australia.
Oh, no, I contacted the archaeology department at Flinders several years ago, and then I had all family issues because where my family lived at Echunga, they had the original block, and Mum grew up and there was six graves with stones around them.
Yeah.
And there were two big ones and four small ones. Mm. And she was told, no, they're graves of people, you know, that's very special. It's almost like a sacred, they were part of the settlers. And I think I know who the six are. And I had to get in touch with the owner, who was a distant relation, one of the Hamptons. But then, you know, we had family issues and I haven't sort of got back to it. But I think the university were quite interested in coming up and doing a survey because the stones had been thrown down into the creek. But Mum went up there one day and I've got photographs of her saying, this is where the stones were.
Right.
And the story that she recorded. Yeah. And so I know that there's a grave site there. I've absolutely no doubt at all about it. It's interesting. There is archaeology to be had here. Oh, yes.
There's no archaeology department at Flinders. It wasn't taught when I was there.
No.
Which is... No. It saddens me. It's another one of those subjects. I wish I could have done that.
Yeah, I know. Only. I don't know when it started because
it was after I finished, that's for sure, because I would definitely have studied archaeology if I'd been around. Yeah. But when I was a child, we went to visit friends of relatives up in the Nindi Lakes, and there was an island there that I suspect was probably the site of a massacre. There were a lot of skeletons, and they said, you know, they looked like they'd been, murdered. Yeah. But... they had been covered up when we were there in a sandstorm, so there was no sign of any of that. But I found a part of a cornstone, an old grinding stone.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing. And I bought it, took it home with me, and my parents, oh, what do you want that for? And in the end, I threw it out because I didn't appreciate it. And now it's like, oh, I threw that away. That's just so... it's really important.
Mm.
Because it's showing evidence of, you know, grinding...
what was there?
...grain and stuff. I've always wanted to contact Australian Archaeology, like, department or something and say, you know, I think there's something interesting that would perhaps add to the picture that we have of what happened.
Oh, yeah.
With, and I suspect...
little glimpses of...
Yes. Yeah. So, but even our backyard, every time I dig in the backyard, I find broken glass or china. Sometimes... Yeah. You know, I've had to go and have tetanus jabs when my finger cut myself badly on something.
Yeah.
And had some pretty bad cuts.
Yeah, we've got an old house and
they've just buried their rubbish.
Yeah, we've been told. Yeah, Mum grew up seeing where the old cottage was.
Yeah.
She knows those stories and she's passed them on. She's written about them. And a lot of them, I mean, I've absorbed probably 40% of what she told me. You don't remember everything, but... maybe I've remembered more, but then you talk to other people in the family and they've got slightly different version of it. So you try to piece together.
Yes, so we've finished looking back and...
my turn to read about Clonmally Homestead. Yes. Circa 1920. This is Gawler then and now, and it's a photograph of Clonmally Homestead, built on Lindock Road close to where the Gawler Health Service, formerly Hutchinson Hospital, now stands. It was the second house of the first Gawler settler, John Reed, and was demolished in about 1961. And what a grand building it is. Mm. We've lost so many of those beautiful buildings.
And that is beautiful. Yeah.
And it's just really all lovely. The workmanship. But that's progress for you. Ha ha.
Yes. With a question mark at the end of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's it for this week.
Yes, and until next week, Kate.
Until next week, Jeanette. For all like sun.